All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora.
Yo, check it out, y'all. This is Fonte Fontigolo back with this week's QLS Classic. This week, we're going to take it all the way back to February 13, 2019 for part two of our Black TV Writers Roundtable, where we chop it up with our good friends Tracy Ashley, Diallo Riddle, Bashir Saladin, my brothers from Sherman Showcase, and Angela Nissel, who is getting a lot of love right now from her mention in Dave Chappelle's new special. So, yeah, Angie, doing your thing. Love her. Listen, we sit down with them. We talk about how the Black media landscape is changing, and we get into a whole lot more. So check it out. QLS Classic. Get into it. Yeah. Peace.
Hey, last week on Questlove Supreme, I introduced you guys to four Black writers currently working in Hollywood. Angela Nissel, Bashir Salahuddin, Diallo Riddle, and Tracy Ashley. Collectively, they've written for shows like Scrubs, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, The Last OG, and many, many more. Hey, let's not waste any time. Let's get right back to the conversation.
So like the old shows, the old Black shows, let's say, like the Jeffersons and What's Happening, did they have Black writers, or were the, you know, like
they mostly, they absolutely mostly,
good
mostly
times,
did not.
Did not.
Was well, for Sanford and Son.
They very much mostly did not.
Yeah, no.
Norman
yeah.
Lear was
it
like
was it was incredible.
Yeah, Norman Lear actually I just listened to a podcast he did, and he talked about that, the how I think he said the Black Panthers showed up at the studio because they were mad that they were like, this white man is writing this story. Yeah, so I don't think they had
the way
any.
There was some Black authorship was the star usually had some level of veto power. Yeah. So Esther Rolle, when she got a script, could then be like, no,
I wouldn't say this. Or,
but that's like the very last level. But right before that, there was nobody in that room.
Briefly on Sanford and Son, I know that Paul Mooney and Richard Pryor were brought in to work.
By the way, a lot of people don't realize Sanford and Son was actually an import from the UK.
Yeah, it was based on white people, right?
Yeah. It was called like the Junkmen or something.
No, Steptoe and Son.
Steptoe and Son, yeah, that's what it was.
How long was that on?
I never saw
this is before. This is before the days of BBC America, so we don't.
We have no idea.
So, of the four of you,
who's getting fired next?
No. How many of you
always aware of that? Always aware of that.
How many of you are willing to truly sacrifice for the greater good? Now, I know there's a loaded question because I know that usually a lot of nepotism and sort of the patriarchy, like the system of starting out as an intern and then becoming a writer, then the head writer, and then next thing you know, you're network head. I know that's very hard for Black people to even fathom that situation. Usually you're worn out and tired after 10 to 15 years of this bullshit. Mm-hmm. But how many of you are thinking past writer, head writer, and showrunner to I would like to run the network. And especially, all right, I would assume that for women, and I see this often, you know, when I investigate the culinary world, most women don't last in those high-end the kitchen situations because you have to really give like 15 to 25 years of your life in that situation. Usually you want to have kids and you retire after a while. So are you even thinking about in 2035, I'd like to be president of the network so that way I can really open doors? And
I think that for us, I don't know any, for us, the highest thing you can do is be a showrunner, is to be somebody like a Kenya Barris. I don't think too many writers actually want to.
Yeah, that's a different track.
Yeah, that's nobody wants to run a network.
I would assume that now that Shonda Rhimes is kind of is she besides Oprah, the highest level of where you could be in the game right now?
I think so.
Yeah, personally. And she runs her own production company.
Right, so is Shonda Rhimes not even the 8 steps away from Oprahhood? If she goes on this role,
my 2 cents would be she's as close to being somebody who has that network power without giving up the thing, which is the reason we get up in the morning, because we feel like artists and we want to go make art. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I know this. I know A&M Records was started by
Herb Alpert, but
you know, that's sort of a parallel thing in a sense of like, well, those guys were musicians and they said, we got to get our own label. It does happen, but you know.
And even with that, it was one guy that was really music and the other guy was the business.
All of Shonda's shows still get notes from a network. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Does she honor all those notes? Who knows?
Yeah. But. Yeah.
Well, hence me asking. Is willing to sacrifice? Because you know, like,
but it's already happened.
I want to be a musician and creative, but if one day,
I mean, ABC has a black woman president.
There are black executives who rise.
NBC has some women who are there about to take over some things. Yeah, it's coming. It's happening. That's why Roseanne happened because a black woman was like,
there's a black woman named Kathy Hughes owns TV1. Just you know, whatever you think of it, it's there.
Well, I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I'm saying who in this room is willing to, how far are you willing to go in this trek, in this journey of television?
Of being able to be fired.
Oh, hell. Well, yeah. I'm like, for me personally.
Yeah, but network executives have a lot of.
It's like, what's after show running?
A lot of turnover, too.
I would love,
go to movies?
If what me and my girlfriends talk about is right, you know, and there hasn't been a black female half-an-hour comedy network showrunner, broadcast showrunner, since the 90s. I mean, I've been in this since 2002. I can't give up now. What else can I do? You know, and I like being able to help other younger people like Tracy come in and do, you know, so if it ain't me, it's going to be her, hopefully. So, I mean, I'm not giving up until I'm dead. What the hell? Unless one of y'all going to take me in and feed me, find me a sugar daddy.
I think the ability to create new shows, new characters, new environments, I think that's what, you know, rejuvenates us. You know what I mean? As opposed to the desire to have other people bring us those things and be like, okay, well, you're going to get 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Like, I just think that that's a slightly different thing, you know, and maybe sometimes people will make that jump, you know, but, you know.
So what I'm feeling here is that the there's a limit to your sky.
No,
it's two different things. A network executive and like none of us, if we were executive network executives, we wouldn't be able to write and create new characters.
Right. I know plenty of network executives, and maybe one of them will become head of their network. I just, you know.
I mean, can I just say, for me, it's like I'm not Picasso, but I'm saying if you went to Picasso and said, you know, you really got to run a museum, man. And he'd be like
nigga, I just want to draw.
I'm a painter. Like, so I'm saying like.
Hence the top. Who's willing to sacrifice
Who wants to sacrifice to, like, I love doing this.
God
like,
made us able to do this.
But their network was a creative. And then he stopped being creative and became president for the greater good. To bring us Usher. To bring us TLC. To bring, you know. Quincy Jones was a trumpet player and loved scoring jazz.
But would he have kept doing that had the deal been selling like 10, 20 million records? Like, would he have still
given it? He saw a moment and he jumped at it. Now, we asked Jimmy Jam the same thing. Like, would you want to stop creating music and producing just to, you know, to be in the front office and not be a creative. He said, no, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I understand. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, I think most creatives just don't, people don't think like that. I mean, you kind of do what you do just because that's, I want to do that. Like,
but I will say the
way. I think about it all the time, though. Yeah. And so I, you know.
But I would say just really quickly. Oh, go ahead, Tracy.
I have to admit, that actually did cross my mind being in at CBS and being on this show because I was looking around at all the executives.
All white.
Oh.
We developed over there. And but, I just wanted to say really quick that Kevin Hart is essentially starting his own network right now.
Yeah.
The way the media landscape is changing between cord cutting, there's I think I might be making this number. I think there was like 1,300 new TV shows or something like that. Or maybe
that's about right.
Or let's say if I'm wrong, let's say it's 300. That's still 300 things. Everybody ain't watching all that shit. So I'm saying it's a little bit of a different terrain than the 70s. I think there are definitely talented people now who are saying, look, I can just get an app on your TV the way that other people, the Netflix has an app, and you'll watch the Bashir Network. And then that'll be the way that I, you know, corral the conversation and be able to give green light power to people. And I think that's already actually happening right now. There are people creating networks right now that utilize technology to be the people who are in charge. Puffy at Revolt. Yeah,
I'm scared for Kevin Hart, though, because I wonder, I'm like, wow, how many people, because there are so many outlets, how many people are going to the LOL network or whatever
I don't
it
know.
May be?
That's the next part of it, right?
Yeah, so what is the other thing that's going to be created that you can be a boss and maybe not be a network executive and maybe not to be an app? I don't know.
I hate to ask this question. Uh-oh. Is Revolt a nationwide
It depends on channel, which state.
I've yet to see Revolt.
We get it.
It depends.
We get it in North Carolina.
Who's your cable provider?
It's been bought like 50 times.
It's not about the providers because it's on Comcast, it's on Time Warner, it's on Charter. It's about the cities that they're in because it's not not in Philadelphia.
Well, I have Spectrum in New York City and I still don't
get it?
Where.
Man, people be like, hey, brother, hey, watch my show on Fuse. And I'd be like, oh.
I know, right?
Straight up.
Right? Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it's so many channels you can't even tell where.
Dude, this is the only time in history like you can be at a restaurant sitting next to somebody who is a fucking star on their own TV show. You don't know who the fuck they are, and somebody comes and gets an autograph. Like, wait, who the fuck are you?
And Aspire. I got a show. Magic Johnson still you know, had Aspire.
I got a TV show on PAL. Like, what the fuck is
Pal? I'm on Palladium, bro.
I'm Crackle,
the face of Palladium.
I'm on Crackle, nigga.
Wait, yeah.
Cracking on Crackle.
I'm on Bling.
I'm on the Facebook network. How about that?
Is
LOL a legit star? Channel? Like, with fans and shit.
LL Cool J?
Is LOL an actual...
Yeah, a network.
I guess that's Kevin's going to be LOL. There you go.
Yeah, the LOL network.
He's buying studio space out in Chatsworth. Like, he's doing this. This is happening. I went out there and saw the space. Like, this is happening.
So I want him to spread himself thin and nothing be as great as it could be.
With the whole like cord cutting thing, just in terms of the economics of TV.
Yeah, it's scary.
Like, yeah, I mean, because to me, it just doesn't seem like, and I don't know how it affects like writers and actors and stuff. Because like, yeah, people are cutting the cords, but they still jacking you up the ass for the internet. So
the amount of people who watch each TV show has gone down.
Right.
The amount of individuals who spend their day watching TV is fine. It's actually that number is consistent. So the people in this room will always have offers and stuff because it's like we create content. But you got to have 10 jobs. That's the secret.
But I will say. Gotcha. So I want to say this: we are developing another show with IFC.
Yep.
You know, and we're very excited about
Sherman
that show.
Showcase.
Executive produced by John Legend. Our composer Fontecchio in the room.
Yep. Yeah, all right.
There you go.
Yep.
One of the things that I noticed when I was talking to some of the millennial assistants, I would be like, "Hey, so how do y'all watch cable TV? You know, like because I have
seen they the steal cable it.
And they'd be like, "Well, you know." Like none of them will actually pay for cable.
No, you still one your mother's like, password.
Can I put somebody on? Like, hey, I want to put somebody on blast.
I watch it once it goes on Netflix. Somebody else was like, "Well, I never cut the cord because I never had a cord."
I'm gonna put somebody on blast.
Roku.
Yeah.
I want to put somebody on blast who I live with, who I married,
who
watches,
married.
And we watch every Real House. We watch all of those. We do not have cable in our house. Yeah. How are we watching all those shows every night on the TV in the living room? Apple? That's the question you should ask yourself.
Slingbox?
I don't know. Apple TV? No, it's a website.
Torrent.
Oh, okay.
A special website.
Your wife and I could be good friends.
We watch every one of those, and I'm like, "This is, we're evil. We're the enemy."
And if you got a fire stick, you ain't never gotta leave the house.
And the kids can't even understand paying for content. They don't get it. Why would we pay for that?
I don't pay for content. I use my mother's cable when I log in with my little Chromecast.
There
used to be a time when nobody paid for television.
Yeah,
they just paid for the box.
Yeah,
you get the box.
That's true.
So you talk about millennials. My nephew, I guess, we wanted to watch Handmaid's Tale. And so he was like, yeah, give us he was like, I'll give you my Hulu password. I'm like, all right. And I pulled up shit and it was like five other profiles.
Oh, yeah.
Because like him and all his homies share that shit. Yep. We hit a nerve.
Do you consider internet based TV series real shows or
100%?
Amazon, by the way, I'm on Netflix. Shout out Netflix. Let's go, Glow.
Season two is awesome.
Thank you. Yes, episode 8 or whatever the actual show, the one that.
But can I just say something? But Amazon has some of the best terrible black movies.
Listen,
in the world, Tariq and I watched every single one of them.
You watch the ones with your boy Murder Payne?
Yeah, I watch all of them.
Oh, ooh, man.
They got an actor called Murder Payne.
Shout out to the game.
It takes place like in Detroit. He's in
The Plug, The Plug 2.
The Plug 2. We watched that one as a family the other night.
I watch all those shows.
They got Parole.
Everything Amazon, y'all talking about.
I have not seen Parole.
Amazon realized that it don't matter the level of money people spend on it. If it's available, black people will watch that shit. So Amazon will buy
$10. There's a bunch of battle ballots on.
Nigga,
they got shit to make battle ballot look like the goddamn Godfather.
Yes. So like Snow in the Bluff, that type of level.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a masterpiece.
Snow in the Bluff was.
These movies have no sound design. These movies have no DP. I'm sitting here in my living room watching a movie where there was like, this whole scene, you can't hear anything.
Sometimes you won't see a character for 40 minutes.
You won't see 45 minutes.
Pop back up and you'll be like, oh, he's still in the movie.
That's content. I mean, but it's content. I'm watching it in the living room.
Okay.
Shout out Amazon.
And Amazon, too. I think they do a good job.
Netflix is going to kill me for that. They watch it. They're going to listen to this.
Netflix, I'm trying to think.
Glow. Okay, Netflix. We love it.
Yeah, Glow is dope. Netflix, they have their black movies because, like, I watch, you know, because, like, it's all this shit. Like, the world is a fucking algorithm.
Marcus Houston.
So, like, I watch. Yes. I watch.
But they have
Boy
a certain
Bye.
Level.
They do have
Boy
a level.
Bye.
I watch Boy Bye.
Of course I watch Boy Bye.
Come on. Is this a black movie?
Should I watch it?
Yo, Netflix has church
watch
plays. Netflix
they
has.
They do. They heard that lyric. They're like, there's a movie here. They got on their laptop immediately.
Boy Bye is a movie written by Marcus Houston.
If you wonder where Rupert
Marcus Houston?
Yeah, Marcus Houston.
I'm so mad.
Boy Bye is good.
Starring Wendy Raquel Robinson.
I call him Houston.
And in case you were wondering, there is a line in the movie where she says, "Boy, bye."
Yes.
Oh, Clifton Powell in the movie. What?
Spoilers, bro.
It's Clifton Powell in the movie.
Clifton Powell is not in that one. Okay. Yo, you know who's in
Boy like 12 of them, though.
Yeah. Who was in Boy Bye?
Wait, can that be the name of this podcast?
Was in.
Clifton Powell is not in that one.
Wait, the saddest thing is that all those movies, there's always one person who's like a little too big for the. Like, that motherfucker's in the.
Right.
Didn't you have your own TV show?
It's like when you saw John Amos in The Watermelon Heist. You were like.
Yeah, The Watermelon Heist.
That's a real movie. That's a real movie. You'd be like, Vivica Fox is in.
Yo, yeah.
She in Independence Day? That. You know, how did the conversation go down for that? How did they do that?
You want some money?
Yeah, listen, it's the 28th. I know that mortgage is due on the 1st.
You could not get paid, or you could get paid.
That's true.
Is that damn
which
simple?
Will it be?
Boy, bye.
I learned so much today, man.
Nah, Boy Bye is a good one. What was another
September Rule?
I mean, it's good, bad, but it's
sequels to movies you didn't know. It's like, five can play that game?
By the way, yes.
Did they have like Trois 4?
Oh, I Yo. Think Trois was.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. There was a sequel to that shit.
Yeah, they do.
No, there's
they call it
there
Catra.
Was two. There was two.
Catra.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was in Twi was one of the first, like, no bullshit.
Rainforest Films.
Twi was
Arabesque.
Yeah. BT. Yeah. Twi was one of the first movies I can remember. I was in college. This was my freshman year at Central. And they marketed Twi like it was a fucking rap album.
They came to campus.
Yeah, they came
one
to
One of the
campus.
Producers came to Harvard and was talking to us. They came.
Oh, there is a Twi 4.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I just made that shit up.
Damn.
Clear off your schedule.
Check it out, y'all.
Oh, my God.
check that out.
I love that stuff. That stuff is great.
Yeah, my favorite black actor at all is Clifton Powell.
Damn, he's okay.
Clifton Powell?
Clifton Powell.
He's very consistent. We came all the way back to 227, right?
No, you're thinking of Clifton Davis.
Clifton Davis.
That was
a different black guy.
I'm thinking of Quincy Jones.
Man, how did we not shout that out with the street shot?
No, Clifton Powell's the gangster. He's in everything.
And Clifton Powell, like,
finest.
Yeah, he'll be like in like a Murder Pain movie, and then you'll see that nigga in like Black Panther 3. It's like, he has a wide range.
You know what? He likes to work.
Yeah,
I would give him that. He every day he wakes up like, I'm going to somebody's set.
I hear that.
Somebody's putting me in front of a camera today.
So, like, as writers, like, tell us, what shows do y'all like that are like
Rick and Morty?
Y'all are like, yo, this is great writing.
Yo, sell me on Rick and Morty.
What do you mean, sell me on Rick and Morty?
Just watch it.
No. I hear about it.
I think what Fonte said about the audience is true. I don't think it's smart. When you watch it, however you feel about it, is the real shit. Rick and Morty is the only show I know that is as funny as it is, and also still has jokes that have layers for like people who are nerds. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to know that.
Yes,
know
it, I'm about to say, men will be watching that and be like, oh my god, they just went into the conspiracy theory. Yes, but I just laugh. Like, guys be breaking
down. I didn't
even
know
that show is just funny.
Exactly.
I'm going to admit to you. Okay, so I don't know if it's y'all. I mean, someone told me, watch Rick and Morty.
It's the shit.
Watch Baskets, too.
I was about to do it.
I tried Baskets.
Too much.
I like Baskets.
Also, Chewing Gum. Another one.
Yes. Oh, I heard that's good.
Black woman. By the way, really funny, not trying to be like, like just hard jokes.
What do you think about that?
What, chewing gum?
Yeah. You don't like
I haven't got into it yet.
I'm surprised. Just it's a like black Jesse, woman.
And not every black woman gets my love. I mean, I tried to support the girl Jessica and her Brooklyn Jessica. They was on the Daily Show.
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my lord.
Just Funky girls. Wait, what is it?
Funky girls.
Two dope queens.
But she had a show on Netflix, and I tried.
It was a movie.
Oh, that was a movie.
Oh, it was a movie with the white guy.
It was a movie.
It was too millennially New Brooklyn for me. I think
it did feel a little old for it.
Maybe I'm too black for it.
Never change.
I like to go with too black.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonsigolo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR. Wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Laya, what's your favorite show?
Oh, don't do that, because the first one that come to mind is Family Guy. Please don't judge me.
Do y'all really watch television?
Yeah. Yes.
Too much.
Yes. I'm mostly for video games.
Most people I know that are in the TV world, like,
I'm mostly for video
games. It's beneath them to watch television.
What?
No. Every actor I know.
You have to. Yeah, you got to watch.
But I will say, I think interestingly enough, most of what I watch is drama lately. I mean, Diallo has kids too, so he watches a ton of fucking Ninjago, depressing, dark adult stuff that I can find.
Around the room, Diallo, what's your two go-to shows?
Well, right now I'm actually getting caught up.
Can't live without.
No, I'm getting caught up on Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, ooh, like, I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm late.
That's what I'm watching. Damn it.
I read the comic.
Cool. No.
You could only name one. All right, give me your guilty pleasure. I'm ashamed to admit I watch this show.
I can't quite go there.
Say it. Just say it. We all gonna be honest. Just say it.
Just look. Pull up your Netflix real quick.
Just say it.
You know what?
I know it.
When blah 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 comes on,
I'll answer for you. I can tell you.
I'll start.
I want to
hit it. When the fucking Golden Girls on, my ass is on the couch watching that shit.
Golden Girls, that's a great show.
Yeah, Golden Girls. I used to watch that shit.
A guilty pleasure show that
you know, like Real Housewives or like reality show.
I mean, Black in Chicago. I don't feel proud about that.
I'm going to tell you what's on my DirecTV right now.
Love and Hip Hop is still kicking if it's Atlanta.
When something's on that you're ashamed to say that you watch, what is that show? Okay.
I'll tell you, it's Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
You're still watching?
Listen.
I've never seen that show.
No, I don't want to watch it regularly.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm sorry. I know, because I just pulled it up, and I was like, I know I watched something. My guilty pleasure is actually the show called The 1980s, The Deadliest Decade. It's on
Discovery ID,
which is the best channel.
Wait, what the hell is that?
Okay, so Investigative Discovery is basically like a 24-hour, 48-hours / Dateline show.
Every
show is about like people who are married killing one another.
So it's always
like they were the perfect couple. It seemed they had everything. Until she showed up missing after the boat trip. Like, that's basically
that's the whole channel.
And they have this one show called 1980s, The Deadliest Decade. The thing I like about it, on top of like marriages falling apart, which is perversely fantastic to me, is all the old footage. Like, I can actually watch old footage on YouTube all the time. Like, so last night I was watching As It Happened footage from LA TV news shows of the Northridge quake.
Oh, wow. Shit.
You know, like, I just like to watch, like, oh, how did we react in the moment that it was announced that John Lennon died? You know what I mean? Like, because I like the old, like, graphics, and I like, you know, like, the grainy footage, and, like, you know, the best part to me in Cocaine Cowboys is, like, when they show, like, you know, like Miami footage of like
the Dayland murders.
Yeah,
and shit.
Like when they're like, there were three people found dead in this apartment tonight.
Oh, that's the worst.
Like, you know, and you're just like, the footage itself is scary because it's like, why is it so dark and like grainy?
And Cocaine Cowboys 2 was the one, the Hustling with the Godmother. That was my favorite one.
Of course.
About Griselda.
Shout out to Discovery.
I can tell I disappointed you with that answer, but that's the real truth.
No, that's Discovery ID.
I still believe the Kardashians. Go ahead.
Can't live without.
No, what's your Star Trek go-to show?
Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but okay.
What's your go-to show?
Show that I watch way too much of? Man, I watch a ton of... I'm so sorry. Honestly, I watch a lot of Family Guy.
Yo, that every time
I think it's like, the funniest.
Still to this day,
no matter. Well,
I'm a cord cutter, so I gotta wait for it to seep into other shit. But yeah, every time I, every
like you
time.
Watch it when it comes on TBS, and then you watch it on Adult
He's
Swim.
A cord cutter.
And then
I'm saying I love that show. I think that show is. I think I like I like comedy.
What's your what's your guilty pleasure show?
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
that's it. Can I just say though that those people are incredible. They have to be funny.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
And they had, and I'm from a conservative Muslim family, so we had them at the house during Thanksgiving. And my father was like, "What in the?
Good for you,
brother, I've made so many mistakes." And I was like, "It's fine."
Okay, Tracy,
I binge
you know
watch
about.
A lot. I will admit, I will sit and binge watch shows. I binge watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but the thing I'm watching now is The Americans. I'm watching that.
I gotta get into that.
Everybody says it's good.
It's really good.
Is it good?
It's great.
I've been hearing it's good.
Because I only want it's great. And but the my guilty pleasure is I have to admit Love and Hip Hop. The one with
Atlanta or
the one with Stevie J.
Atlanta.
That's Stevie the one. Yeah,
he's
I gotta watch
he's
that.
Incredible.
That's the one I watch.
Yeah. He is incredible.
Wait till Faith come on next season.
I was gonna say is Faith gonna be on this?
I think Faith is gonna be on it. Yeah.
And she's already been on it. He already had broke up with her once, and now they back together. It's odd.
Why you go ahead.
I don't.
yeah, go ahead.
I don't know because I watch way too much TV. Right now, I'm just looking forward to the Ozark. So that's
nice.
Like on my
list. Season 2.
Is Ozark good?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Anything that Jason Bateman in to me is generally good.
Rest Development.
Well,
it's your move.
I don't say I'm on Rest Development
your move.
Hit because
wow.
You know.
I love this year move with the Drinks and Society.
I didn't like Ozark. I was just. I think to me, like Breaking Bad was like the pinnacle of. White man goes into scary dark territory, like shit. Like that was, I was.
Oh,
I ain't fuck with those art.
Guilty pleasure, staying on Adult Swim, Robot Chicken.
That ain't no guilty.
That's not a guilty pleasure. That's a well loved.
As somebody
show.
Who enjoys marijuana, that's just a nightly.
And as a black person, it's like it wouldn't use. It'd be my guilty pleasure because people wouldn't expect it. So
I like
a white boy.
I like that
inside.
Show because every reference I feel like is for me because I'm like they done did 10 minutes on He-Man. I'm like that's my shit,
and the shit's only 15 minutes long.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a it's quarter.
By the way, He-Man is on Netflix right now. If y'all want to see that shit, is so good.
The '80s, like the old.
Did you see the movie?
It's so good. No. I mean the cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was all the way in.
Oh, and Killing Eve. I watched Killing Eve recently.
Did I not remember when Dolph Lundgren played He-Man?
I don't know. Franklin Langella. Yeah,
yeah,
really
remind me. Yeah. I remember. What was on that? Killing Eve.
Sandro. And
I just ordered it on. So it's good.
It's good. Okay. You'll really enjoy it. So season one is impeccable.
Yeah.
Fontigolo.
The joint I'm watching right now, I'm fucking with Snowfall.
Yeah,
I thought it was good.
Did Walter Mosley write that?
He is writing on like a lot of.
That's
it,
incredible.
Yeah.
What?
Shout out to Walter Mosley.
And season one is like cool.
Devil in a Blue Dress is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Glow is like I fuck with Glow. I watched that.
There you go.
I watch Handmaid's Tale, but I'm like
Glow?
Pulling out. I'm just like I'm done.
It's no way to bootleg that. No way. Like you gotta have Hulu, right?
Excuse me.
Hi.
Okay. Bill, I'll call you. Thank you.
Wait, we can't even name.
No. He's saying he got it. He got the hookup.
Oh, I thought we couldn't mention Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he'll give you his Hulu password.
They don't stream podcasts on Hulu.
You probably don't share passwords.
But yeah, I pulled out on that. I was like, I'm good on that shit. Well, that's the only thing I pulled out on TV show.
Yeah.
Ah.
But nah, man, that joint. I guess my guilty pleasure. Yo, real rap, bro. Like 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh,
it's
what's
the
that?
Most, what? I've never even heard of that.
90 Day Fiancé?
I don't know it.
Man, it comes on like Bravo. It comes on one of those fucking channels. It is basically a show about hoes overseas finessing military niggas in the States.
Wait,
it is fantastic.
Whores.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What do you call it? What's the political?
Sex workers. No, they're not sex workers. But, well,
women.
Some of them are. Some of them are.
Some of them really are.
Like,
they just want to move here.
It's just like they hustling niggas for green cards. It is
Wait,
it
that's
is
a show that's allowed?
Yeah.
In the Trump era?
Yeah. Ooh. And I guess maybe that makes it even
more. They're not coming from shithole countries.
This era is not like defined by
that's what it is.
By the way, you want to know the real truth? That's what's sad. Is like I watch a lot of dramas and I watch a hell of a. I probably watch too much news.
MSNBC.
See, I don't watch too much news.
If you can name like the first five people on the lineup of MSNBC, like I can, you probably got a problem.
I do have a problem and I could name them right now.
Oh my God. Stephanie Rude. She's so passionate. I love her.
I kind of had a thing for her.
She will love that you say that.
Because she's like,
she's like, wife.
I love her. What were you saying?
No. I like how like punchy she is.
Yeah,
like, she's just like she'll put like one arm back and she'll be like, "What do you think about that?" And I'm like, yeah. Waking up in the morning, I'm like, "Oh, she's already here.
Real talk.
Already
she wants to come on the show. She loves the
she
show.
She should. She's such a. She such
do you have any rulers listening to this?
She's like my BFF.
Aww.
Like, I always went really high.
I never brought her up to you guys because I didn't think.
No,
you didn't think it was a safe space.
I've seen her stand up for Belshi to some hicks in some dope ass ways. Like, she's like, "What do you mean you didn't know that he was from Canada? What did you think he was from?
Yeah,
what are you saying,
oh,
sir?"
Oh, yeah, no, that was a great day.
Yeah, remember
that
great day?
I remember that day.
Oh, shit.
It's depressing. It's depressing how
that's
much
awesome.
Like,
okay, man, I don't watch. Didn't y'all fuck with BoJack? I've been trying to
get it. Oh, so good.
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that show's incredible, actually.
Say that if y'all came around to me.
That show is like a perfect vision of like Hollywood, sweat. Too.
Really?
Hey, what happened to Cameron Hall?
I'm watching.
What happened to Cameron Hall?
I'm going to check it out.
That was my celebrity crush.
I thought
crush.
She was getting
told
attention.
Me she is coming on to.
Is she cool?
Secrets.
Oh, she's cool.
Is she happy? Okay.
Secrets.
Something's about to happen, like.
Okay.
4 months.
I'll support it.
You can see her in the Andre Leon Talley documentary if you just happen to go by and you miss her. She's on that. Okay. She wanted to drop that because it's a really dope documentary. Sorry.
Wait, have I ever told my Andre Leon Talley joke before?
No. He's been through so much. I've seen a documentary.
No, it's not about him.
Okay.
No, once there's a photo of Andre Leon Talley with that fur hat thing and mm-hmm. his get up and it's like. Russell's ex-wife, Kamora Lee Simmons, and I think Britney Spears.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was Jay-Z.
Oh my God. Oh, I bet he was happy to hear that. That's actually great. That's dope.
And I hit him up like, yo, that's a weird hat you have on.
You hit up Jay about this picture.
Oh my God.
You know how many times he's been mad at me?
But there is a picture of Jay in like this weird fucking hat, though.
Yes!
There
and that's
is,
the thing.
Yeah, a real picture of
this
Jay.
If you look at it, you can Google it and see, like, it looks more like Jay-Z than Andre. And I was just like, interesting choice of coat you have there, sir. And he's like, that's not me. And it didn't talk to me for like 3 months.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yo, am I the only one that watches HGTV like around?
Oh, no, international.
I
watch Property Brothers. Yeah. Is that on there?
Yeah, that's Property Brothers.
International and House Hunters, honey. International House Hunters.
I don't like the international. I watch the regular House Hunters.
What's the one with the flip? Is it Flip My House
or
something?
None of that.
You don't? Oh, that's right. Age, we didn't even get to you.
Okay.
It's Bill's turn.
Amir, I'm sorry. It does look like Jay-Z.
See? See?
This is Andre. Turn around, is he?
It's not going to be big enough. You're not going to be able to see it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's hilarious.
He didn't talk to me for 3 months before that shit.
Sorry.
Wow. That's
all right, Bill, hit me. What do you watch?
What do I watch too much of? Or
what's your show that you binge out for?
Did you skip and you yourself and Angela? What happened?
I'm going to go last.
Oh,
just,
okay. I'm just making you, hey.
Hey.
Audited.
Hey, you.
All right.
Binge watch. I plan on binge watching Better Call Saul season 4, like in a few weeks.
Okay.
It's good.
How do you feel about Better Call Saul?
I love it.
Now, I'm hearing talk that.
It's better than Breaking Bad.
I'm hearing talk.
It's tough.
I'm watching it.
It's a different show.
Hey, Dorian's on that show, right? Dorian Mizik's on that, yeah?
Not on Better Call Saul. I don't think. Unless he hasn't showed up yet. I'm like behind an episode or two.
Yeah, I'm behind a few. So,
I'm still in the middle of three. So
yeah, it's a different show. So I'm not really judging it by Breaking Bad standards because it's not about Walter White. It's not about some dude becoming a meth dealer. It's about Jimmy turning into Saul.
Right.
So okay, it's a different journey.
Now, what's your guilty pleasure?
I spend way too much time watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's not a guilty show.
No, you don't understand how much time I spend watching. Wow.
You feel guilty for the time, not the show. Okay, a guilty pleasure show I hear. I have not watched it, but I hear that it's like perfect guilty pleasure. Reverend Runs new show.
Oh, I really? Tried to watch that. That's hard.
I heard it's terrible, but it's
scripted, y'all. It's scripted.
Like they tried to take his reality show and
make it to a real show. Yeah.
Make it to a real show, so he's not playing. He's playing himself, but he has another name.
Shout out to
who is it?
Reverend,
I won't put
he did a
sound.
Yeah.
Like
the word there's no black folks right in the room.
All the writers in this show got really, really.
I'm in the bubble.
No black
folks
got the job on the Reverend.
I don't know.
Damn.
I've not watched one frame
of
it.
I'm sure you can Google
who's
running
it. And their real kids are better to look at, not for nothing, but I wanted to see Diggy. Sorry.
There it is.
Chester Child Molester.
Yeah, you are.
YouTube, nigga.
That's what I'm talking about. Steve. I know I have a problem. I told Steve, I'm a victim and a suspect.
Sorry. What do you
That's
binge?
Hysterical.
I liked Ozark. Watching Orange, new season.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I did Orange.
It was
I think Orange got controversial for some reason this season, right?
It got dark.
Is that what happened?
I think they need to kind of wrap it up. I think this next season need to be the last.
But have y'all seen?
They got two more.
Have y'all seen Wentworth?
Mm-hmm. No. Right. Yes. Oh, yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I just got
So what's that? What is it about?
I thought you might have seen it because it's Australia's.
It is so damn good.
Same year. It came out the same year, too. Oh, okay. Australia's Orange is the New Black. It's called Wentworth.
Ah, okay. Yo, okay. Anybody fuck with Gamora?
No.
Nobody watches it. One person had to bring up porn.
Is this on Amazon?
It's the mob, isn't it? Yeah, it's on Netflix. I think seasons one and two are on Netflix. And it's basically The Wire, but like how The Wire would be. It takes place in Italy.
Yes.
And it's basically like how The Wire.
Sicilian mob.
Yeah, mob
shit. I'm watching
shit.
It tonight.
Dude,
that sounds great.
That shit is fucking dope. So it's based on a book. Like the
subtitles?
Author,
I think if you like Narcos. Subtitles,
I love Narcos.
It's better than Narcos.
No, I'm saying like.
Narcos A.
It's better than Narcos.
Bro.
Wait, you said Narcos is pretty good now. Wait, Narcos?
Narcos is
it's better
shit.
Than Narcos. Yeah. I will put it out there. Gamora is whooping Narcos' ass.
Okay.
It's based on a book. It's a real story about the Gamora crime family.
Gamora.
And like the guy that wrote it.
With a G?
Yeah, Gamora, just like Simon Gamora. And like the author that wrote it, like the nigga had to go like in hiding and shit. Like he's still.
He said Gamora. Okay. So it's like, is this your porn you've been binge watching? It's like, hey, man, but it's not what you expect.
Yeah, no, that shit is hard.
Yeah, guilty pleasure,
as nails.
Pornhub.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, Gamora's hard as nails. I'll check.
I think I know what your guilty pleasure is still, but what is it?
Me?
Yeah,
Riverdale right now.
Yeah, not for nothing.
That's
Steve. Ain't nothing
it's
wrong
terrible,
with that.
But yeah, that's
what's Riverdale. What's that about?
Arizona.
Archie's.
But if Archie's were
on the CW,
it's
fucking
so good.
If
though,
it
right?
were,
it is so good.
Gossip Girl. If the Archies were Gossip Girl,
okay,
it's so that's, good.
It is good.
I watch Archie. I hate
how good it is. I'd be like, this is some good ass shit.
It's demented.
All right, Ann, hit me.
Oh, my guilty pleasure?
No, you're a regular joint.
Oh, I'm binge watching a cartoon on Netflix called Big Mouth right now.
Yeah.
I pulled out of that one too. I can't.
It's so stupid. It's just stupid to me. It's like, I guess it's like y'all watching those soap opera. Robot
chick.
To me, it was, I was just worried. To me, the slope was kind of slippery because it's like, okay, these are teenage genitalia talking, and I know it's animated. No, I'm dead. I was like,
those aren't the
this
genitalia.
This
the angel and the, I don't.
It was too close.
Genitalia.
To me.
Okay.
No, the one episode where like
God,
the girl got a
now.
Period
Jesus
and like
Jesus Christ. It's genitalia?
It's like about, talking like the girl. It's about kids
it's going
yeah.
through puberty.
Yeah,
it's about kids
yeah.
going through puberty. And
so it's one episode
is.
Where like the girl's vagina. And I was just like, dude, I can't do this.
I am happy that the girl's vagina is getting as much time as the boy's masturbation episode.
that's with the pillow. With his pillow. Yes.
I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
I think that got a second season too.
I mean, that's part of that.
I just read it.
Got
picked up
my guilty
one.
Pleasure, though, I'm with Diallo because I watched too much Discovery ID. Wives with Knives because
That's a show.
Wives with Knives.
I literally call Discovery ID the white on white crime channel.
Find it. No, find ID and then just watch like 3 hours of it. You'll be hooked.
Wives.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Is it better than Forensic Files?
Wives with Knives. I love
that's
it.
That's for smart people. We talk.
My show. My guilty pleasure show, I think it came on ID, was Naked and Afraid. Have y'all ever watched Naked and Afraid?
Did that come on ID?
Tariq,
I know Naked and Afraid.
That was on National Geographic.
National Geographic, yeah. Okay. All that shit ran together.
I didn't watch it because, you know.
Does anyone here watch
censoring?
Disenchantment?
Yes,
macaroni's,
I watch it in the bathroom. In the last 3 days, I've been watching it in the bathroom because I can't. There's no windows in the hotel for me to do what I do. So I put it on my phone and watched Disenchantment.
What is this show
up
about?
The bathroom.
It's Matt Groening's.
Read what I'm
new,
saying, Bill. We have no back. We have no windows.
The Simpsons
series.
Oh, okay.
With what's
I'm
her name from? Not Abby.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. All right, you talk about
Abby
that.
From
you just smoking cigarettes.
Broad City.
Oh, okay, Broad City.
It's,
oh,
it's like an animated.
But it's cool. The Simpsons people. It's Matt Groening, right?
Matt Groening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's her name from Broad
Futurama,
City?
Futurama. Yeah.
Futurama.
I never was that show like really.
Futurama
hitting?
Was actually what? Pretty good.
It was good.
It's Futurama. Like if nothing else is on and you can't fall into Law and Order, you watch Futurama.
Exactly. You got good taste.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That comes on.
Law
and Order, good Futurama, taste. Or Married with Children.
Everything you say, I'm like,
five in the morning.
I'm co-signing mad shit on this side. All right.
Exciting.
Damn.
Oh wait, you got to answer the question.
Yeah, I was like, you guys are so well-rounded with your choices. Like, I'm barely keeping up with all the OWN stuff. Like, I just got in the Queen Sugar.
I still got to watch the finale.
I'm not watching
Queen Sugar. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
Are you watching
it's
Green
good.
Leaf?
Here's the thing, though, man. Fucking
Ralph Angel.
Ralph Angel needs to talk.
Everything is like
that.
And Ava actually told me that they spend twice the budget money in post. Turning up
the sound.
Yeah, yeah, trying to adjust because
he
whispers.
Still
anyway. Yeah, so every Greenleaf.
Hey,
that.
Kofi.
What else am I missing on OWN that's a drama? Isn't there a third? Love Is or something? Or
Love Is, I wasn't too big on. I gave it a shot.
The Haven't
Have
Nots.
Have not.
That's the Tyler Perry joint.
But I mean, like,
the
serious drama thing that's on the level of Queen Sugar and
Greenleaf. Right?
Oh, shit, man. How could I forget? Iyanla Fix My Life.
Oh,
nigga.
That's a popular one.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
I'm trying to sell
yeah,
that show's
pretty
before.
Great.
Nigga, yo.
You get, yeah.
Iyanla
yeah.
Fix, bro.
That's pretty great.
You can
oh,
get
my
stuck.
God.
You can get
because
stuck.
The greatest yeah. part yeah. about it is, like, after every show, it's like, since appearing on Iyanla Fix My Life, shit has gotten exponentially worse.
Yeah, it's true.
That's like the end of every
that's
show.
True.
Like, she never fixes
that's
anything.
Sad, yeah.
It's so great.
It's almost like she tells them more well, specific reasons to hate each other.
Right, yeah.
You don't like him because he reminds you of your mama who
wait,
used to
wait,
slap
wait. Can
you.
I,
you're
can,
like,
I, can I pitch something? I have a show to pitch.
What?
Oh, no, here's I'll open up to the room. Is there a show, because you mentioned 227 again, is there a show that Netflix can pluck out of the past? Out of the black past and do like the serious dark version.
Version.
Like Archie's
version.
Archie to
yeah,
Riverdale.
Like Archie to Riverdale, 227.
I mean, Good Times.
Good Times was Netflix. The Wire.
Family yeah. Matters.
Family Matters.
So a black well, cop living in Chicago? Were they in Chicago?
With the black
yeah.
nerd.
Yeah, that was like the whitest, blackest show.
No, this
ever.
Is all about what happened to Judy.
Oh,
oh
no.
Yeah, how
she did porn
went upstairs
she
and
oh, yeah, how oh. she went upstairs and
never.
I'm not
never
talking about her going into porn.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the
that's
character
hilarious.
Judy.
What yeah. say what?
Why did Judy
that character
disappear?
Went upstairs and then they never they were like, all right, that's it.
Yeah, that was it.
That was like Alf. How y'all was talking about how Alf
no,
ended.
Alf got canceled, but they ended on a cliffhanger. So technically,
bringing it back.
So technically, the end of Alf
oh,
is the scientist
back.
Dragging
no.
him away. And he's like, Willie,
no,
Willie.
Yo,
I'm still mad. Y'all showed and get on the air, and somebody pitched Alf. And got rich off
and
that
got
show.
Rich.
You know, that's a, there's a
they say that was the
right
no seriously they
Alf,
said
Alf.
They said Alf is hands down
no
the angriest nastiest most toxic set in
wow.
the history of multi
yeah,
was
on
that.
Crack. The dad was on crack and the nigga that
in
wrote it was on
was a
tyrant.
The dad was
on
a terrible,
actual
terrible
crack.
Person.
Yeah, the dude
yes.
yeah, the dad.
Yes.
The dad
he's
on
Alf.
Actual
yes.
crack. Real crack.
I heard Small Wonder was the worst.
Let's can we talk oh Small Wonder that was
what
my
a
shit.
Weird
wait, can I get my
show
wait,
Small Wonder. I'm going to make a little girl. Amir, just Google Alf dad crack house.
I don't Smile. Want
yeah.
to.
Yeah, the writer for Alf was also the boy from Basketball Diaries. That movie the movie that Leonardo
yeah, I remember,
did.
I remember the movie, but
and he was about it was about a writer that and like how his life was all fucked up. He was the guy that wrote Alf.
Okay. Oh shit!
He was a drug addict.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
You've been waiting to say.
All right, my guilty. I will stick with yeah. what I really think yours is. I will say that if I'm in bed and I don't feel like reaching for the remote, mm-hmm. and there's a Kardashian marathon,
right?
I won't rush to change the channel.
I will.
Like I'm
yeah,
just too lazy
well,
to change.
You know,
like,
I mean,
you know
my addiction started when I was on Fallon because, like, yeah. it reminded me of living in L.A. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, wow.
like you see the freeways, you see, like, you'll be like, oh shit, it's, look at all that sunshine. Like, that's it was, true. It was like a little postcard from home, regardless of who they were talking
but, you
to
know,
or talking
but
about.
It's only like three episodes, and then I gotta stop. Like, I find myself getting sucked in.
The show's not popular because it sucks. You know,
right.
it's a good show. The reason it's super popular is because it's a
but
good show.
But I feel super guilty for watching it.
Damn, Bashir.
All right, we're
really
taking one
that.
Last break, and then we'll finish our last subject, and then we got to wrap up
said
the show.
That, Bashir.
I'm, it's
oh,
the
my
hey.
Lord. Play it.
Family Ties, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're recording. Michael McDonald right wrote this.
Somebody could like sample that part.
No, this was written by Michael McDonald and Daryl Hall.
I made that up.
Oh, don't
stuff,
do that.
Steve.
That's awful.
But it sounds like Daryl Hall, right?
Did Michael McDonald really write this? I believe everything. All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, count the negatives. Here we go.
There ain't no nothing we can't triple love negative. Each other for.
Woo-hoo! What do we do, baby,
wow.
Without us?
All
right. Sha-la-la.
That was like
yeah.
The
Hey, you heard that?
That's a good fucking.
That's they were painting,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Painting
that one and so Moonlight artistic. Was the jam. Too.
Moonlight was Al Jarreau.
That was Al Jarreau.
My body. I like Al Davis. No, Tommy Davis' version is with Al Jarreau.
Yes, yes.
Shout out to Al Jarreau, the original
Al Jarreau,
the original Kim.
Tenderness.
Rest in peace. Good
album. Yes, Kim is Al Jarreau.
Look to the Rainbow Live, 1977.
That's one of my favorite records.
It's one of the best records ever made.
My final question is...
Already?
Is Hollywood running out of ideas with all these reboots?
No.
No. What should we reboot?
I just, outside of the studio, I just seen a sign for Magnum P.I.
See, that's
Murphy
where
Brown is coming
we are
back.
Pitching new ideas, but if they think they can make more money on a reboot, we are sellers and networks are buyers. And if we go in and we pitch a new idea, say I want to pitch Black Girl Lives in a Pinball Machine, they'll say,
sold.
They're going to say no. They're going to go through the whatever math they use to see which one's going to bring in more money. So it's not that we don't have ideas.
To reboot something that already has a built-in audience.
That's already been successful.
Hawaii 5-0 has been on the air for like 9 seasons.
I've never watched an episode.
I haven't seen one episode, but like anytime like I'm at home and I turn on CBS on a Friday night, you'll see Hawaii 5-0. Yeah. That's a reboot. And it's been on for 9 seasons.
And
most of those guys were on Lost. They just stayed on the island of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, another show coming, y'all. I can feel it.
ABC. Is Friday still a toxic night on television?
I don't think so, because isn't Blue Bloods on Friday, too? I feel like CBS has a bunch of dramas on Friday.
Blue Bloods?
And they're all successful.
Yeah.
And Friday night double is check like that, the, internet. That's like the layup night. Like that's the boot up night. Saturday night is the kind of
I think what it is CBS knows their audience. Yeah. They're all really old.
That's right.
They have not cut they don't even know what cutting the cord is about. And so they're just like, ah, this show's about the cops. And then this other show's about more cops on Hawaii. So like they like cops.
Cops in hospitals.
Wow. Everything is like a lazy trend too. Like Diallo was saying, we were at HBO. Girls was successful for them, so they try to make everything like that. Roseanne has been a successful reboot, so now you see all these reboots coming. But the other part of that equation, I think, is also that the TV viewers are just a lot older than people think they are. Yeah. Like,
so, are we ready for the Martin reboot?
Is that going to happen?
I mean, they were
talking about it.
I don't think that was a.
Some things just need to be left alone.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just fuck shit up when you just bring it back. Like Roseanne.
Yeah. She fucked that up, though. We was enjoying a couple of episodes.
Like okay. I'm saying, it would have been
you,
fine.
You saw new Roseanne? Yeah.
I saw a few episodes,
good?
Too.
I did like it.
You liked it? I didn't care for it.
But. Oh, really? I didn't watch Roseanne because I didn't want to go against Cosby back when they were like going at each, you know.
Right. Oh, you never watched it back in the day.
No, she was catch it.
Well, like
I think I just enjoyed
right?
the nostalgia that they that actually brought.
Come back now.
By the way, that's the show I love growing up.
Well, I love Mary.
I was like, I know this family.
Hold on,
I always wanted to see a black version of Mary with
you. You watched Rosé. Did they explain how the white guy who wouldn't kiss a black girl back in the day adopted a white girl, a black girl? You try to say DJ. What do you mean DJ? Oh, you mean on the episode when DJ wouldn't kiss
a black girl? Yeah.
So what they had, that's the thing. So they hadn't gotten to that.
I think that's why they had him adopt a black girl.
And they hadn't gotten to that yet. There were so many original characters that I thought was dope that there were still a part of the show they brought back that they were still we hadn't gotten to the black couple yet.
I felt like they were treating that black girl on the show as like a mascot.
Yeah, that was
yes.
Really
yes.
The black
yes.
Girl.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, is she his because she's a little
like
dark.
Sam on Different Strokes?
Oh, man.
Or
Sam.
No, Oliver on Brady Bunch, like just the...
Mr. D.
Didn't the Bundys have another child at the end?
Seven.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anytime a baby showed up on a sitcom, that's when you know the shit was buzzy over.
Nikki on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Fucking Raven Simone on the Cosby Show.
Winnie and Nelson.
Winnie and Nelson.
Yes. I like Raven Simone. She was great,
but she absolutely was an injection of, all right, we need some new characters in here.
Oh, but then what was Cousin Pam?
Cousin Pam was a mistake. I mean, I love
Cousin Pam.
I didn't understand that at all. They brought the cat. Lance
and all them.
They got like three Howard students all of a sudden. I was like,
Jeremy. Nah, because even like it was either if you knew a sitcom was about to end when like a baby showed up or when Bumper
Did
Robinson showed up.
Did Good Times ever do that?
Yeah, I was Robinson.
Like when he showed up, it's like.
I was going to say when Colonel Taylor married Jaleesa, but you know, that works.
Oh, damn, that did happen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Why'd you remind me of that?
Yeah, that was uncomfortable. And then she got pregnant and it was like, oh, y'all really doing this?
The actors were uncomfortable. They were like reading that script, like, what?
Yo, I hate you right now. I'm sorry.
You had to pull up Bubba Rock. That nigga Clarence. Yo. That's so fine.
But wait. One place where that rule does not work is on Living Single.
He was
in the early seasons as like one of Khadijah's assistants or something like
oh,
that.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay. I didn't watch Living Single but I forgot.
What an underrated show. That show was so underrated.
I didn't watch Living Single like that, nah.
My assumption was that show was so good.
I didn't watch a lot of TV like in the 90s. Like I was just always listening to music.
Wait, what'd you say, Bashir?
I was saying that Living Single was underrated because my assumption at the time was, oh, we're about to get a bunch of new shows like this. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. And there wasn't a bunch
of
shows.
Well, you got Friends.
But that show is so good.
You got and Friends.
I think that show is personally better than Friends.
Shout out Yvette Lee Bowser. Agreed. Yes, that show is amazing.
Well, at least at the beginning. I mean, Friends, I will admit, toward the
what
middle.
What's the name of the
really
handyman
good.
On that show?
Overton.
Overton.
My mom loved Overton so much.
And Cal
he was
the
funny
ladies
as
man.
Shit.
His show was funny. Huh? A little too much like your mama. He used to always do this Prince joke, like, maybe I'm just like my mama. Yeah, a little too much like your mama.
Big legs.
He was hilarious.
Like dance sequence.
Big legs, yeah.
But Eric Alexander, I thought was
Big legs.
Sarah Dean called her Big Legs, and now I've been calling her Big Legs.
Yeah, I used to think her name was Big Legs, too.
Are
what
you serious?
Is it, Big Les?
Big Les.
Big Les, yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay.
We're learning. We're learning.
All right, so I've learned... these past 2 hours
what we learned in the episode.
Oh yeah, what we learned. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
we
gotta
bring it back.
Yeah. So I've learned that that reboots are not a good idea, but you guys are pitching new ideas that the executives are ignoring. And I'm also getting the feeling that we won't overcome. What did you learn, Fonte?
Man, I learned that, well, it's hard to say because I've known everyone pretty much for a while. I hope, what I hope people see is just how long it takes to achieve your dream. I mean, just from knowing Angie from OK Player and like knowing where she's come from and then just watching these cats like go through
what they went through, when we did the message back in 2007.
Yeah, yeah. Like they started with a web series and the message like in 2007.
That's before Fallon.
From there. Yeah, even before Fallon. And like just seeing how long it takes to actually gain some ground in this shit, man. Like
forever.
Yeah, it's a testament to just hard work and just perseverance.
Laia, what did you learn?
I learned there needs to be a slew of domestic writing workshops for women, especially the black ones, especially when it comes to comedy. I kind of already knew that, but I just wanted to reiterate that to the world because I got Angela in my life who tells me this all the time. But
how are you on your journey in...
Well, I got these two gigs from Questlove Supreme. So I haven't been necessarily working on my dreams like I should have, but I think after we've done this marathon of recordings in LA, it's time.
She did a stand up. She did like five minutes at we were there for Roots Picnic. When Tariq did his comedy thing.
Right.
She did like 5 minutes.
Oh God. And I've never read your notes.
I recorded it. Yeah, we still gotta talk about it, but I recorded it and I'm not like a stand up comedian, nothing like that. I just recorded it and I watched it. Laia just gotta write some jokes. Her state, like her.
No, damn.
She's no. Here I mean, no. I'm dead ass. Like, she's note. Gotta write some jokes. Like her.
Laia, will you come? Wait, time out.
But no, straight up.
Laia, come from under that. Blanket.
No, when she stepped on stage, the one thing I will say, and I mean, we talked briefly. Her command of the stage is really fucking dope. When you stepped on stage,
you're a charismatic.
People were listening. Like you had them at every word. There was just no jokes.
Oh my God.
But you had good premises. Like you had a No. I mean, you had that thing. You had a thing where you were like talking about living in LA as a black woman in LA, which was like a funny premise. You know what I mean? But it just.
Yo, why are y'all?
What about my dick joke?
Laia, you're on the right path.
Talk about a Pandora's box.
I'm glad you said that.
TED Talk. Listen, is it a TED Talk?
Time out. Laia. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Laia. Now, we've been here for 100 plus episodes, and the common theme that we've learned from every artist we ever interviewed on the show is that the wisdom and the knowledge come from the failure part. And now you quiet.
No, I'm listening. Now I'm listening.
Now you quiet. Can I'm you just saying that we've gone. Every comedian has gone through this, dude. I secretly go through this.
Even Michael Che
said
that.
I don't tell the world that I occasionally get on.
I understand. Listen, Angela came to my first ever comedy show, and I was nervous for that. She was sitting in the audience.
You're a braver person than I am because no one I know has ever seen me get on stage.
You got on stage, Amir? You're really doing this.
I shared this with y'all.
You did, but I didn't know you. But I mean,
you've been here for
things.
Those shows.
He mentions things.
You smoke too much weed.
Are we doing that?
Anyway. Are we doing some weed? I would like some.
Okay.
My point is that, yes, in order for you to get better, you have to
keep doing it.
Yeah, you got to start in the mailroom. So I think you're on the right path.
Nah, she started out like, I mean, she had.
Have you been
control.
On stage since the Roots Picnic?
Nah.
My God. Anyway, what else have you learned?
That's good. I'm done.
You gotta do this weekly.
I don't have no more.
Is the Comedy Act theater still a thing in LA, or is that like a thing of the past?
There's many open. We can get you. Yeah.
Maker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maker.
Yeah. I would love to.
Maker. I'm here now.
Okay. Okay. Let's do it.
Maker.
I'm
real.
Here now. Trace.
I'll go with you.
Yes.
All right. You got
this. Will help you. This will help in a lot of areas.
Y'all,
in
you
got
to start to sweating, Lord child. Okay.
Pop the mile, I'm sweating.
Trace.
But the fact that they're listening to you, that he's saying that they were listening,
yes. Yeah,
that's really your hat. That's half always half the battle, right? So
you're
that's huge.
Presence.
That's really huge.
Straight up.
I know a lot of comedians who are funny, but they can't hold that audience. Yeah. Okay, so that's something that they listen to you.
Did you learn anything today?
I did.
What'd you learn?
I learned that when I work a long day, maybe I shouldn't come do a podcast. I'm tired.
I got something right.
It's all good.
Bashir. No, no.
Oh,
no. Actually, I did learn that from you guys. I didn't realize that writers go through the same
kind of long hustle comedians go through. I did not realize how long the fight was. And I think that's interesting. I did not realize the hustle,
the grind is the same. Like, yeah.
Can I just, I learned I'm going to be real tired tomorrow. Woo,
yeah. I'm going to let you go. Bashir.
Are we going in the, okay. What did I learn? Man, I learned that, I learned Donald Glover was brought on to 30 Rock to write for Tracy Morgan. I didn't know that.
Yep. Did y'all not know this?
I don't, there's a lot of shit. I knew he wrote for 30 Rock. I've never heard that,
and I know people wrote for that.
I doubt if he was in that room like, oh, I got a great twofer line. I got a great... I got a great line for Judah Friedlander. No.
Yeah.
No.
Shout out Keith Powell.
Donald Glover was brought in. I learned this fact.
You're here for Tracy Jordan.
And then Bill Cosby bought NBC. Right. Exactly. No, I learned this fact. I
tried to buy NBC.
Yes. Werewolf Bar Mitzvah was one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked about it, because I got to know Jeff, Tina's husband, who does the music for the show, he explained to me that, yes, Donald wrote this, and then also explained that, you know, he was...
I'm agreeing with the way y'all's looking.
Yo, the unless way y'all side eye.
No, that's cool. No, thank you for the fun fact.
Unless you are in the writer's room, I'm just, I've heard people say you write to all of Tariq's rhymes. And I'm being honest. And it's like they say that, and I'm like, you're an electrician. How the hell do you know?
Shit, I got another question now. I was about to let the show go. How small is the world as far as like writer's rooms are concerned? Like, oh, I heard stuff about that particular show, and like I said, writer's room versus writer's room. Like, how fast does news travel about certain shows?
It can travel real fast. Yeah. If they're friends who work on shows, you'll be like, oh man, that motherfucker came in there and he told so and so you fired, you know, like all that talk, you know.
Okay, without naming the show, is there a show?
It was Neil Simon.
Is there a list of shows?
It's your show of shows. My gossip is old.
Is there a list of shows that's like the top three shows I know never to ever approach or to go to? Like, you've heard that. I'm being
don't
hypothetical.
Go to that show because
like Game of Thrones
people are really
is
unhappy.
Work for, yeah.
Game of Thrones is literally two guys and their staff writers. So that's like one of the smallest rooms.
There's producers, you know, or showrunners that people say not to work for. But I will also say that when Meth and Red got canceled, it was the shot black writers heard around the world.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, he didn't know that show existed until a couple days ago.
Bill just revealed it to me today that Meth and Red had a show.
So why was that on Fox?
Because, again, at this point, I'm the only black writer in the room. And
so you wrote on that show. No.
Oh, okay. Again, it literally traveled around so bad because from what I hear, and again, mm-hmm. this is passing down the line.
Yeah.
But there was a room full of white writers,
mm-hmm.
and Meth and Red didn't like what was being written, and someone they were like, "Yeah, he shoved him in the face," and they were like, and Meth and Red called it a mush, and he mushed him in the face.
Like they were teaching them about.
Yeah, and so it was like, and they were like, "You just don't come to Hollywood, and we give you a show, and you mush people." And so for the next 7 weeks, I kid you not, all I heard was rappers coming to Hollywood mushing people. They don't.
Shit.
Wow. And then I'm the one black person who I'm like, I didn't mush anybody. Why y'all looking at me? I never even heard that word.
So, damn. Yes.
So I also learned not to believe everything I hear when it comes from Jeff Richmond. So anyway. Oh. What'd you learn?
I learned two things. I learned that Stephanie Ruhle listens to QLS. That's pretty fun. I also learned that Hal Linden's still alive. And man, Ron Glass isn't. So, you know, shout out to Hal, wherever you are.
And Ava Gota.
And Abe Goda's been gone.
Yeah, he died.
No, he just recently died.
Oh, really?
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And shout out to the guys who make it to their 90s. I love that documentary, the fact that Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner are still buddies and they still hang out in the afternoon. That's amazing to me. So,
Boss Bill, what'd you learn?
I learned that if I ever want to get a show on the air, don't take it to HBO unless I have like a decade to waste.
Bad. You would think that with Netflix and the way that streaming services are, I think that's changing now,
by the way. I do think things are changing.
I think our experience as devastating as it was a little bit unique and par for the course.
Well, you know what, man? Like, I had a homie that was working on, they were doing a Lewis and Clark. It was supposed to be, Casey Affleck.
That. It was for like 3-4 years they developed that.
No, that's the one that took 8 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and they
Lewis and Clark took 8 years to develop.
And I had a homie that was working. He was in that show, and they was just like, nah, fuck it.
Look, I think that's changed a lot because, you know, for the first time, Netflix got more nominations than HBO. I think that,
shout out Netflix.
I think things are. I think the industry is changing.
I got a bunch of parties
in crazy
to go
ways.
To.
You know, I'm actually, to go back to your point earlier, I'm becoming more of a student of how people consume. So I'm finding out that like VOD doesn't really count towards your ratings, but people watching on the app does. Like, so maybe stay on the people on the tech side to make sure that the app doesn't crash when too many people are trying to watch a show through the app. Like, there are a lot of ways the technology and the content creation are colliding. Mm. And I think it's smart for all creators to educate yourselves.
Oh man,
on that.
Well, I guess VOD doesn't count towards ratings.
It's complicated. Like the apps and. I saw a chart, and we actually have a meeting next week at IFC on this, but like there is a chart that shows you like which things count actually towards your ratings and which things are lovely, but they do not.
Right. Oh, man, I guess where we should go, we should ask y'all, like, for young writers trying to come up, like, what would you say to them?
We should have said that.
But hang on. So, Sugar Steve, can you tell us what you learned
Sugar
today?
Sugar Steve is not on the mic.
I know this. Edit.
I learned Steve Mandel doesn't like to be the only white guy in the room. Too.
He can only take so much.
Oh, we've been learned that.
All right, so thank you, Steve. I gave you your platform. You're not here. Ange, what'd you learn?
I actually just learned through text that my services will not be needed on the last OG due to something. No, I'm kidding. Somebody in the sound room snitching about some shit. No, I'm kidding.
Hey,
that'd be hilarious.
No, for real, the thing that I learned is that Fonte has really shitty taste in TV.
I'll take it. I'll watch my 90 Day Fiancé by myself. Thank you very much. And fuck y'all.
What's your question, Fonte?
Oh, no, just for, like, young writers trying to get into the game, like, what would y'all tell them? I mean, other than, like, start 25 years ago, but...
And go to Harvard.
Yeah, and go to Harvard. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if that's...
No, I'll answer real quick. I think that I always tell people, I'm like, you know, write every day, get good at writing. If you claim to be a writer, then you should love doing it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody puts a gun to your head and says, hey, make music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you just do it.
You just do it because that's what you want to do. You'll get good at it. You know, over time, and and always, you know, stay true to yourself. And that doesn't necessarily mean you got to write a show about a person who grew up in your hometown who came to Hollywood to try to be a writer. Because I always say George Lucas didn't grow up flying spaceships. Like, whatever is, you know, your interests, like, write it all the time. Don't ask everybody that you know to, you know, read you constantly. Like, once you write it and it's really, really good, be happy that anybody reads anything that you give them. Mm. And please give them at least a couple of weeks, even months, to read it, because I think everybody in this room has had that person who's like, hey, man, you read it yet? I sent it to you at 5 p.m. You know, like, that's a thing.
And reading scripts are hard. It took me even a minute. Like, when you was in, I was just like, man, like, it took me a while to learn, like, how to read scripts and how to...
Best writer may have terrible advice for how to fix your script. So at the end of the day, you have to believe in it. Yes. You have to know how to fix it.
I tell people, you know, when young writers ask me all the time, I say, you know, you got to be really hard on your work, like, extremely hard on your work. Make sure people who read it are not going to be nice about it. But are people who have good taste, but then also really make something, because nobody wants to read a script. Like, I'd rather you send me a link to some shit I can watch.
Get you right.
And let me see how good you are, because I'm not about to read 10 pages.
Dang,
make something.
10.
What about you, Tracy?
Make something.
I would say don't steal.
Like, legal young pads or,
like,
jokes?
Don't steal ideas. Don't steal, like, I know some young writers who'll go, ooh, I like that. I'm going to write that. Mm. Like, but that's already on. You know, what do you, like what you're saying, what are you passionate about? And Shonda Rhimes did say that. And she said, don't steal.
Don't steal.
It's crazy. All right.
Did
you
say something, or am I tripping? What? Did you say something?
Angie ain't had no advice.
You ain't got no advice for the youngins, Angie. What you got? But you ain't got no love for the youngins.
Advice from Angie. Fuck your fort, little nigga.
If when he cuts you off, you just gotta let him know. You probably don't know.
My advice actually would be, if you want to be in a writer's room, is to not only get good at writing, but you should maybe take an improv class. If you're not, you have to get good at being around people, because you can't.
And by the way, that's my biggest advice, especially in comedy. My biggest advice for people who want to come up, no matter what they want to do, direct, act, write, anything. If you haven't done that much and you're still figuring out what you want to do, take an improv class, because you'll be around other people who have similar interests. And then at some point you'll figure out, well, that person has an eye for something. This person's a better writer than an actor. And this person is a star in the making. You'll create a network of people. Me and Bashir's first foray into this thing was just doing a sketch show with our friends, you know, for no money at a theater. And wow, we looked up one day. And by the way, that was a hell of a sketch group. Our very first foray into anything was to form a six-person sketch group. I look back on who was in that sketch group. It was me and Bashir, Wyatt Cenac, Robin Thede, and Nefertari Spencer, Nefertari, and Angela Yarborough. And nobody had done anything. We thought Wyatt was the star because he had written on a season of King of the Hill. He was the star of the group because of that. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. But I think writers, especially people who want to get into TV, film, get so caught up in the how to write, and I have to put interior, exterior. 60% of this business is managing people and getting along with other people and personalities. And you can't read that in any book. So I would say work on your people skills, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we learned a lot.
That's good.
Okay, so I think we wrapped up our special Hollywood Shuffle episode.
You'll fix my freestyle in the edit, right? Fix my freestyle in the edit.
Never.
Bars.
Never.
Yeah, it's all one take hold, baby. We all got it.
So,
black one take hold. Sad how relevant that movie still is, by the way.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to my nine nerds. Oh, look you just stepped in the room.
Boy, bye.
Bye, boy.
Right now.
Yeah. Boy, bye.
Anyway, Steve, did you learn anything?
Nah.
All right.
Hilarious.
Well, on behalf of Team Supreme. Oh, wait. Time out. I forgot. Y'all think I'm bugging. I can't let this moment go by without a moment of...
Bitch, you guessed it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
OG Mako?
Yes. I'm sorry, Bill. I got to do this.
Is this
Night Court. 21 Jump Street. Let's go. Come on now.
One more time.
100 Ways.
Right. I was like, damn, what the fuck? Okay.
I don't know that shit.
Moonlight.
Next.
Nah, it's not Moonlight.
St. Elsewhere.
That's right.
That did sound a little moonlighting-y.
Here you go.
Miami Vice.
I got that one.
In a bit, Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Cosby. Second.
Last one.
Moonlighting.
All right. On behalf of
Was that Moonlighting?
Black
that was
nerds.
A great way to spend 3 minutes. Thank you.
Sorry. Well, you know, I'm just
that
trying to be
in the show, nigga.
On behalf of Fonsiglo.
By the way, that was a spokesperson for Cracker Barrel who said that.
Hilarious.
I'm done with y'all. Goodbye. I'll see y'all later. This is my show on Pandora. Peace.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. This classic episode was produced by the team at Pandora. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.